And now, get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Vic and Sage.
Say, do you mind waiting a minute, folks? I haven't finished this piece of cherry pie they sent over from the Crisco kitchens today. Just a little bite here. Boy, what a pie. Juicy, rosy red cherries. This Crisco pie crust. You should see how flaky and tender this pie crust is. Why, it's almost an insult to threaten it with a fork. And it's golden brown, too. None of your pale, anemic-looking pie crust for me. Oh, no, ma'am. You know, they tell me over at the Crisco kitchens, it's easy to turn out flaky pastry like this. SureMix Crisco is a new and different kind of shortening. It's made by a special new process you won't find in any other shortening we know of. But undoubtedly, you've discovered this difference yourself. Yes, you've probably used Crisco for cakes and discovered that it gives you lighter cakes than any other shortening. Well, you just try Crisco for pies and see how easy it is to turn out light, flaky pie crust. Why, notice how much creamier SureMix Crisco is. See how easily it cuts into your flour. And it'll tell you right off that your pie crust is going to turn out tender and flaky. Why, it's easy for even a beginner to make wonderful pies with SureMix Crisco. Yes, ma'am. Pie's every bit as delicious as this little old cherry pie right here, and I guess I'll have another bite if you don't mind. You know, Crisco won't give your pie crust any strong, unpleasant, shortening taste. Now, that's because Crisco's a pure, all-vegetable shortening. And you needn't worry about Crisco pie crust being hard to digest either. No, ma'am. Because new SureMix Crisco's a digestible shortening. Doctors call attention to that. Why, even the youngsters can safely enjoy Crisco pie. Yes, whether it's a juicy cherry pie like this one, or one of those tangy lemon meringue affairs, you can count on your Crisco pie crust being digestible. But why not get Crisco today? See for yourself how easy it is to get flaky, tender pies with Crisco.
Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Vic is established in his easy chair, staring reflectively at the ceiling. Sade glances through the newspaper on the Davenport, and young Rush at the library table contemplates his algebra textbook without enthusiasm. And now the master of the menage speaks.
I suppose you noticed I received a letter from Lodge headquarters today.
Yeah, person can't mistake that yellow envelope.
The communication contains something rather important.
They want you to dig down in your pocket and whip out $49 for something?
No money is involved. This is kind of a thing, say, that you generally make fun of.
Is that?
So much so I hesitate to tell about it.
Don't, then.
I think I'd better. Besides, had a little barn loft. Are you particularly busy?
No.
Be a wonderful fella and step to the bookcase and get me volume 7 in my lodge library.
I'll do it. He's studying.
No, I'm not. My brain is like a piece of cotton this evening. Can't fasten it on algebra. My mind insists on wandering to other topics.
Oh.
Kiddo, next Saturday is a significant date as far as the sacred stars of the Milky Way is concerned.
Yeah?
Next Saturday has been set aside as National Exalted Big Dipper Day. The fraternity in general does honor to all the Exalted Big Dippers, and the Exalted Big Dippers themselves do honor to each other. A variety of ceremonies are scheduled.
Here I go. Volume 7.
Thanks. You're a wonderful fella, and are now free to resume your studies.
Well, I'm quitting my studies for tonight.
I never saw you work any problems.
Miss Monroe didn't assign any problems. Our lesson for tomorrow is just a bunch of junk to memorize.
Got it, memorized?
Yeah.
I'll bet.
Kiddo.
Next Saturday, Exalted Big Dipper Day. Go ahead.
There are a variety of ceremonies planned and here and there throughout the country. It's to be quite an occasion.
You want to go to Cincinnati, Indiana, or somewhere and march in some parade?
No.
You people skulking around discussing parades might be interested to know Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap.
Whistle stop, old flat iron. Papa and Mama are talking over a matter which is of absolutely no interest to you. permit us to finish our conversation and then consider yourself at liberty to recount all the anecdotes that come to mind.
Oh.
Our local chapter here in town isn't planning to make much of Exalted Big Dipper Day. A lot of the fellas are going to be out of the city, and we decided to let it slide.
Mm.
However, there's a certain ritualistic procedure to be observed in the privacy of the home.
Huh?
And that's where you come in.
Me?
Yeah.
How?
Well, lodge headquarters stipulate that every Exalted Big Dipper...
Lodge headquarters stipulate every Exalted Big Dipper what?
You make fun of this.
Well, don't tell me then.
Well, you're mixed up in it, though.
Really?
Rush.
Oh.
Take volume 7 in my lodge library and turn to page 118.
Oh.
I'd like to know what I'm mixed up in that nobody's asked my permission about yet.
In this ritualistic ceremony, in the privacy of the home, you're supposed to take an active part.
Am I?
You have to serve me my supper.
Serve you your supper?
Yeah.
I always do serve you your supper.
Barefooted.
What?
I expect you'd laugh.
Page 118, Gum.
All right, hold it.
Is next Saturday night. I trot around barefooted.
Kiddo, would you let me explain?
Oh, sure.
It's a serious, sober, impressive ceremony, and although I understand it's liable to strike you comical, I wish you'd try to appreciate the fact that the sacred star in the
Milky
Way is...
I won't laugh. Mm. Go ahead.
Next Saturday evening, at precisely 11 o'clock, the exalted Big Dippers of every chapter in the country will sit down to supper.
Kind of a late supper.
Yeah.
Rush and I will probably want to eat earlier. Go ahead. I'm not laughing.
We don't have to go through the ceremony, Sade. Nobody'd know about it if we didn't bother. But I've always been the conscientious officer in the lodge, and I'd like to do what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, sure.
Volume 7, open to page 118, Sam.
Yeah.
Read aloud, beginning at the first paragraph.
The exalted Big Dipper will seat himself at a small table at precisely 11 o'clock.
You eat alone, huh?
Yeah. Do we have a small table?
A card table, do?
Sure.
You can borrow Donahue's.
Oh, will you do it?
All right.
Of course, you don't need to tell him what we want it for.
Don't worry, I won't.
Read on, Ray.
The room will be illuminated by green lights, so arranged...
Well, they can buy green electric light bulbs at the 10-cent store, can't he say?
I suppose.
All right.
Room will be illuminated by green lights, so arranged that large shadows are cast on the wall opposite the exalted Big Dipper. The exalted Big Dipper's wife will enter barefooted, carrying a plate of thin soup. This she will place on the table. Bow twice to the exalted Big Dipper without speaking. Turn around and tiptoe away. Hey, am I in on this?
No.
Can I watch?
No.
I'll watch through the window. I'll get Bluetooth Johnson and Vernon Fagles and Leland
Richards. You do no such a halfway thing. Anyway, the shades will be tightly drawn. Read.
The exalted Big Dipper's wife's face will be free of talcum powder and lip red.
Oh, hey, now.
Well, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Only thing is, it's a regular prescribed procedure. As a conscientious officer of the lodge, I'd like to obey.
It's so kind of halfway heathenish.
Yes, I expect it strikes you that way.
Oh, I'd hate to have Miss Harris or somebody bust in and find you sitting underneath a green light eating thin soup and me trotting around barefooted. She'd get the impression she busted in on old King Cole.
She'd think, by George, she was in snake-infested India in a gang of guys out of the Arabian Nights.
Oh, hush, Rush. Your father don't want to be jollied about this.
As a matter of fact, I don't.
Read some more out of the book.
Exalted Big Dipper's wife's face will be free of talcum powder and lip red. She will see that her hands are clean and her hair neatly combed.
I hope so. I don't generally serve supper with dirty hands and my hair in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If convenient, station several persons in an adjoining room and instruct them to maintain a low moaning and wailing during the course of the meal.
I'm afraid that won't be convenient.
No.
Leland Richards and Vernon Pickles and Bluetooth Johnson and Smelly Clark would only be too delighted.
Reed.
Huh?
Reed.
Leland Richards can slap out more low moaning and wailing than...
Reed.
After the exalted Big Dipper has finished his thin soup, he will be served a small bunch of white grapes. The white grapes will be followed by 1 ounce of rare beef, ungarnished with salt, pepper, or any other condiments.
I call that a pretty slim meal.
Oh.
Well, you're going to eat your regular supper with us that evening, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
1 ounce of rare beef wouldn't stay a person's stomach 6 seconds.
Reed, Rush.
Ungarnished by salt, pepper, any other condiments. The beef will be followed by a single lettuce leaf and a sip of cold water. Hey, talk about your hearty lunch.
Is that all, Rush?
At the conclusion of the meal, the exalted Big Dipper will remain seated and ponder for 2 hours.
Well, that'll take clear up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well.
Hmm.
Is that all, Rush?
It's all the directions. Goes on to say, our founder, R.J. Conk, instituted this procedure on the 19th day of December, 1881. It was in Topeka, Kansas at the time, and in an address he delivered at the fire department in that city, he said, in hoc, ad yeeper, geek, sim spittle, dum quack, no, disputandum vip, ad nauseum, spinch, gonk, cornucopia, division.
Never mind.
Huh?
Never mind the Latin.
Okay.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised but what Fred and Ruthie ask us to play 500 Saturday night.
If we play, we play here, won't we?
Yes, I expect so. It's our turn.
When we play here, they always go home around 10:30. Never later than 10:45.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Our ceremony don't begin until 11. Well.
All right.
You'll do it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. You know, we're starting just...
Crispy, golden French fried potatoes. Now, there's something a man can really enjoy. Piping hot, delicate flavor on the inside with a crunchy brown crust that makes every mouthful a treat to eat. And, folks, you just fix those French fries in new Sure Mix Crisco, and it won't give them a heavy, greasy taste. Now, that's a fact. And you can count on potatoes fried the Crisco way being digestible, too. Because Crisco's a pure, all-vegetable shortening that's digestible. Why, in answer to a question sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. And that's a blessing when your family likes fried foods. Remember, Sure Mix Crisco is the new kind of shortening that gives you lighter cakes than any other home shortening we know of. And yet, it's so economical, you can use it for fried foods, too. Why, Crisco costs only a few pennies a week for all your frying. So see what a wonderful difference a pure all-vegetable shortening can make in your fried foods. Get Crisco at your store today. And don't forget to listen to Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.